When most of us start investing these days, the whole experience feels dangerously close to like playing a mobile game.
Oh, absolutely. It's totally gamified.
Right. You download a brightly colored app, digital confetti literally shoots across your screen the second you deposit money, and buying a piece of a publicly traded company takes exactly one effortless swipe. I mean, it is incredibly, almost frighteningly easy.
Yeah, the friction is just gone.
Completely gone. But moving from one of those basic retail brokerage apps to a professional platform like Interactive Brokers or IBKR is a completely different universe. It's essentially like graduating from riding a tricycle with a little bell on the handlebars to suddenly sitting in the cockpit of a Boeing 747.
That is the perfect way to visualize it. Just a
Yeah.
massive wall of control.
Exactly. You are staring at this intimidating dashboard of buttons, switches, and glowing dials. And if you just start pressing things because they look interesting, you're going to have a very, very bad time.
You're going to crash the plane, frankly. And that steep, often unforgiving learning curve is exactly why we're doing a deep dive today. We're looking at a really extensive operational guide, the Interactive Broker's Practical Learning Manual.
And this was prepared by the American newspaper and American TV.
Right, and it's been totally updated for 2026.
Okay.
The central thesis of this manual, which really is the key to not crashing that 747, is that a platform like this should never be viewed as just a simple buy button.
Right.
It needs to be treated as a comprehensive operating system for your entire brokerage activity.
An operating system. I love that framing. Because our mission today is to help you, the listener, decode this incredibly powerful, but let's be honest, potentially overwhelming financial tool.
Can be a lot.
It really can. And whether you're an aspiring active trader looking to scale your strategies, or just a long-term investor who wants to manage a retirement portfolio safely, understanding the architecture of a professional platform fundamentally changes how you view risk and money.
It absolutely turns that steep learning curve into a structured shortcut.
Right, so to safely fly that plane, we first need to understand what all these different screens and dials actually do. So let's look at how this platform is intelligently laid out.
Well, the first thing to grasp is that the software isn't just one monolithic application. It's actually a suite of distinct interfaces. And the overarching rule here is that each interface has a highly specific job.
Meaning you shouldn't just live in one window.
Exactly. The absolute biggest mistake new users make is trying to force one single screen to do everything. First, you have the client portal. This is your web-based hub.
So that's just in your browser.
Right. You use this purely for account administration, initial funding, pulling tax forms, and maybe some very simple, slow-moving trades. Then you step up to IBKR Desktop.
Okay.
That one is designed as a more streamlined daily workspace for your standard charting and standard order entry.
And then there's the big one, right? The one that looks like the Matrix, Trader Workstation, or TWS.
Yeah, TWS is the advanced professional desk. This is the heavy machinery. You go here for complex multi-window layouts, algorithmic orders, deep market scanners, that sort of thing.
Okay, and what about the phone? I'm always on my phone.
Well, finally, there is the mobile application. But the documentation stresses heavily that the mobile app is primarily a tool for security authentication, receiving critical alerts, and, emergency order cancellations.
So, not for day trading on the bus.
It is absolutely not designed for impulsive trading while you're waiting in line for a coffee.
Okay, let's unpack this because it really sounds like setting up a professional kitchen. You don't chop your vegetables directly on the hot stovetop.
Right, you'd burn yourself.
Exactly. You have a prep station, a cooking station, and a dishwashing station. You separate the functions to maintain control. But I have to push back a little here.
Okay, go ahead.
If Trader Workstation TWS is the absolute most powerful tool in the suite, the true professional standard, why shouldn't I just bite the bullet, force myself to learn that one complex interface, and ignore all the rest?
It's a fair question.
I mean, wouldn't just diving into the deep end save me time in the long run?
Well, what's fascinating here is that cognitive overload is actually a scientifically recognized risk factor in trading. If you try to use TWS for every single task, you are mixing high-level, slow-paced account administration with intense, fast-paced execution.
Oh, I see.
The manual enforces a strict rule because mixing idea generation, like researching a stock's fundamentals, with the actual order execution interface is a primary cause of accidental errors.
So you're looking at a chart, you get excited by a sudden press
It's where
move.
your hand slips and suddenly you transmit a market order you didn't mean to.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that sounds like a nightmare.
It happens all the time. That's why there is an enforced learning sequence. You learn the account administration in the client portal first. Then you learn US stocks and ETFs on a simpler layout.
Okay.
Then you layer on order types, then taxes, then options. You learn the platform in distinct layers so that by the time you sit at the TWS execution desk, the mechanics of buying and selling are pure muscle memory.
That makes total sense. You build the foundation before you build the penthouse. So now that we know where the kitchen is and we know our workstations, we need to stock it safely without burning the house down.
Yes, the pre-flight checklist.
Exactly. Before we even think about touching those execution screens, we have to look at initial account setup, security, and funding, because the guidelines basically tell you to pump the brakes before you even transfer a single dollar.
Absolutely. Security setup has to happen before funding, not after, not during,
Right.
before. Activating two-factor authentication, specifically the IB key through the mobile app, is totally mandatory. Your mobile phone literally becomes a cryptographic security device that approves your logins.
And the manual explicitly warns against throwing all your money in on day one, right?
Yeah, do not fund aggressively on day one. You need to start with a small test transfer. You need to learn how to navigate your balance statements and preview orders in a completely controlled, low-stakes environment.
Before you introduce meaningful capital to the system.
Precisely.
Okay, and speaking of capital, there is a specific beginner trap that absolutely blew my mind when we were reviewing this, the currency trap.
Oh, the currency trap. So many people fall for this.
The guide talks about how new users constantly confuse their base currency with their actual cash balance. I want to make sure I have this right. So it's like going to Paris and buying a coffee on my standard US credit card.
Okay.
But instead of the bank automatically converting my dollars into euros for a flat fee right there at the register, the platform just quietly opens a tiny interest-bearing euro loan in my name to pay for the espresso.
That is a brilliant analogy. And yes, that is mechanically exactly what happens depending on your account type.
Wait, really? It just loans me the money.
Yes,
All right.
because base currency is merely a reporting choice. It's just how your total account value is displayed at the top of the screen to make it easy for you to read. But your actual cash balances can exist in multiple currencies simultaneously.
Oh, it's.
If you buy a euro-denominated asset, but you only have a USD cash balance, and you haven't executed a specific currency conversion trade first, the platform doesn't magically use your dollars. It simply borrows euros on your behalf.
So I've just accidentally taken out a foreign currency loan. I've created a debt balance and a foreign exchange exposure without even realizing it.
Precisely. You are now exposed to the daily exchange rate fluctuations between the euro and the dollar, and worse, you are actively paying margin interest on those borrowed euros every single day you hold the position.
That is wild.
This is exactly why professional operators follow what the manual calls the account operations cycle. It's a rigorous six-step loop: fund, convert, trade, monitor, report, and withdraw.
Notice that you do not just jump to trade.
Exactly. You have to verify your cash by currency first. And the mechanism you use to verify all of this is the activity statement. Downloading and reviewing your activity statement is treated as a mandatory habit, not some optional chore for tax season.
It's the ultimate source of truth.
It is the absolute ground truth audit trail of your exact cash balances, your fees, your corporate actions, and your actual execution prices.
It's all about total intentionality. So we've successfully secured the account, we've funded it slowly, and we've avoided the currency debt trap.
Right.
But having money sitting safely in the right currency doesn't generate returns. The next major point of vulnerability is the moment you actually enter the market. How do we actually buy something?
Now we're getting to the act of execution.
Yeah, and what really stood out to me is the manual's core philosophy here. Order design is a fundamental part of risk management. It is not just a clerical step. Choosing how you buy is just as important as what you buy.
That is a massive shift in mindset for most retail investors. A beginner looks at an order type as just a button they have to click to get the stock into their portfolio.
Like adding an item to an online shopping cart.
Exactly. But a professional sees an order type as a highly specific tool engineered to control a specific mathematical risk. Take a market order, for example.
The default for most people.
Right. When you use a market order, you are demanding immediate execution. But mechanically, you are accepting total price uncertainty. You are telling the market, give me the shares at whatever the absolute best price is right this second.
The danger there being slippage, right?
Yes. If you are trading in a thin market with low volume or a fast-moving market reacting to breaking news, the price you actually get filled at could be significantly worse than the price you saw on your screen a second ago.
Right, which is why limit orders are suggested as the safest default for beginners. With a limit order, you are guaranteeing try certainty.
Drawing a line in the sand.
Exactly. You're saying, I will not pay a single penny more than X. But the trade-off is that you introduce fill uncertainty. If the price runs away from you, your order just sits there, and you might not get the stock at all.
Exactly. You are trading execution speed for price control. And then you have stop orders, which people commonly use to protect themselves.
Right, like a safety net.
Theoretically, yes. A stop order is essentially a sleeper instruction. It waits until a certain price level is breached, and then it immediately triggers a market order. People use them to limit their downside losses.
But there's a catch.
A big one. Because it turns into a market order the second it's triggered, if a stock suddenly gaps down overnight on terrible earnings, your execution could happen at a price far, far below your intended stop price.
Ouch. And what about trailing stops?
Well, trailing stops, which dynamically follow the price up to lock in profit, introduce what we call whipsaw risk.
Whipsaw risk, meaning the normal, everyday breathing of the stock market, shakes you out of your position.
Exactly. Stocks don't move in straight lines. If you set your trailing stop too tight, say, within the normal standard deviation of the stock's daily volatility, a completely normal midday dip will trigger your stop.
So you get shaken out of a perfectly good long-term winning position for absolutely no fundamental reason.
Yep, it happens constantly to beginners.
Which brings us to my absolute favorite tool, the bracket order.
I love the bracket order.
It's an essential tool. It's literally like bowling with the bumpers up. You are attaching a profit-taking limit order and a protective stop-loss order to your initial entry order all at the exact same time.
Right. You are predefining your absolute best-case scenario and your absolute worst-case scenario before the ball even rolls down the lane.
You've completely removed your own future panicked emotions from the equation.
And if we connect this to the bigger picture, the reason professional operators insist on tools like the bracket order is to force you to define your thesis upfront.
What do you mean?
Well, amateur investors constantly use market stress to justify selling. They look at a sea of red on their screen, they feel a knot in their stomach, and they hit sell. But the operational rule here is incredibly blunt.
Let me guess if you can't explain why.
Exactly. If you cannot explain why you are selling based on your predefined mathematical risk parameters, you never should have been in the trade in the first place. Market stress is an emotion. It is never a valid operational explanation after the fact.
That is a harsh but incredibly necessary truth. So mastering the how to buy is really only half the battle because the when you trade and the leverage you use completely rewrite the risk equation.
Oh, absolutely. This takes us deeper into the advanced settings.
Right. Time, margin, and nonlinear risk. Let's start with time. Back in May 2024, the U.S. moved to a T+1 settlement cycle for equities. And on top of that, IBKR gives you access to extended hours, pre-market, after hours, and even overnight, trading from 8 p.m. to 3:50 a.m. Eastern.
Yes, and let's quickly explain what T+1 mechanically means. Settlement is the actual transfer of cash for shares. Under the old system, it took 2 full business days after you clicked buy for the transaction to officially clear.
And now,
T+1 means that settlement now happens 1 business day later. From an operational standpoint, this is a massive advantage. It speeds up how fast you can redeploy your settled cash into new ideas, and it significantly drops the counterparty risk in the financial system.
right, the money isn't tied up in limbo as long. But regarding those extended trading hours, having access to the market at 2 a.m. sounds cool. But the rules of engagement change entirely when the sun goes down, right?
Dramatically. During extended and overnight hours, the major institutional market makers are largely offline. That means liquidity is incredibly thin.
So there's just fewer people trading.
Exactly. Because there are fewer buyers and sellers, the spread's the difference between the highest price a buyer is willing to pay and the lowest price a seller will accept become very wide.
So what happens if you place an order then?
If you drop a market order into that environment, especially when macroeconomic news or earnings reports are dropping, you will get slaughtered on the price. Limit orders are absolutely required here.
You are accepting a totally different, highly volatile risk profile.
Yes.
And speaking of altering your risk profile, we have to talk about margin accounts versus cash accounts. A cash account is clean and simple. You trade with the money you actually have.
Right. Very straightforward.
But a margin account gives you borrowing power, allowing you to buy more stock than your cash allows. But it introduces the very real risk of forced liquidation. And here's where it gets really interesting.
The 2026 rule change.
Yes, the 2026 intraday margin update completely changed the game. The old pattern day trader rule, the PDT framework used to drive retail traders crazy, basically locking them out of day trading if they didn't have 25 grand in their account.
It was a huge point of friction.
Right, so wait, with that PDT rule gone, doesn't that mean I have free rein to day trade as much as I want now? Like, open season for anyone with a few $100?
I am so glad you brought that up, because many people deeply misunderstand this change. The removal of the PDT accounting system is absolutely not a free pass to overtrade.
It's not.
No. What replaced it is a highly sophisticated risk-based intraday margin system. The broker's computers are now dynamically monitoring your account equity relative to the specific volatility of your intraday positions in real time. So if a stock you are holding on margin takes a sudden violent swing mid-afternoon, you can instantly run into an intraday margin deficit.
And if you hit that deficit, they don't politely email you and ask for more money, do they?
They absolutely do not. If you are in a deficit, they will restrict your account from opening new positions, and their liquidation policies are completely ruthless.
Oh.
There is a golden rule in the manual. A broker liquidation is never a valid risk plan. The broker's algorithms will automatically sell your assets to protect the firm's capital, not to protect your portfolio.
They don't care if the stock might bounce back tomorrow.
Exactly. They will not wait for it to bounce back, and they certainly won't wait for your preferred timing.
Ouch. So leverage is a massive double-edged sword. And that exact same warning applies to options trading, which is broken down into levels 1 through 4.
Right.
So level 1 is basically just covered calls, selling someone the right to buy stock you already own. Very straightforward. Mm-hmm. Level 2 lets you buy long calls and puts. Level 3 gets into limited loss strategies like debit spreads.
And then level 4.
Yeah, level 4 is the Wild West. All strategies, including undefined, theoretically infinite losses.
And this is where we have to talk about non-linear risks. When you buy a stock, your risk is linear. If the stock goes up a dollar, you make a dollar. Options are entirely different.
Because of the math behind them.
Yes, they are governed by complex mathematical variables like time decay and implied volatility. Let's look at implied volatility, or IV. You can do your research and be absolutely 100% right about the direction a stock is going to move after an earnings call.
Okay.
But if you buy an option right before that earnings call, the implied volatility is sky high because everyone is expecting a huge move.
Everyone is essentially overpaying for the uncertainty.
Exactly. And the moment that earnings call happens, the unknown event becomes known. All that uncertainty premium priced into your option contract instantly evaporates. This is what we call IV crush.
So the stock moves the way you thought.
Yes. The stock can move exactly the way you predicted, but because the volatility premium vanished, the actual value of your option collapses and you still lose money.
That is brutal.
It is. And for level 4 sellers, though selling naked options there, is assignment risk. You can be legally forced to buy or sell hundreds of shares of the underlying stock at terrible prices. The psychological warning here is critical.
Which is?
Just because you pass a broker's multiple choice questionnaire to unlock level 4 permissions does not mean you have the actual operational competence to manage those nonlinear risks.
Permission does not equal competence. Yeah. I love that. So let's say you've survived the manual gauntlet. You understand cash management, margins, and options. The natural progression for a tech-savvy investor is to look at APIs, right?
The final frontier. Automation.
Right. Writing code to interact directly with the platform using the TWS API or web API. But I have to laugh because internet culture has totally warped what this means.
Oh, completely.
The meme is always that you build an API to print money while you're sleeping on a beach. You write a complex algorithmic trading bot. You turn it on and you wake up rich. But the manual completely flips the script on what automation is actually for.
It radically flips the script. The API learning sequence in the guide is incredibly conservative. It dictates that you must use the manual platform workflows for weeks, if not months, before you write a single line of order execution code.
You have to know the manual system first.
You need to know exactly how the platform behaves before you let a computer pilot it. And when you do finally start coding, you are instructed to start exclusively with read-only data.
Right. You don't build a buy and sell bot.
No, not at all.
You write scripts to fetch your daily balances. You write code to check your currency exposures or to automatically download and parse your activity statements. You use your coding skills to build a customized automated safety net, not a slot machine arm.
And this raises an important question, one that really serves as the culmination of this entire deep dive. What actually defines a professional investor?
That's the million-dollar question.
When you look at the advanced 6 to 18 month roadmap for mastering this platform, there is an explicit warning. Professional users are not defined by the sheer complexity of their trades.
So it's not about doing a crazy six-leg option spread.
Right. You aren't a pro just because you execute complex spreads or write a Python script. A professional is defined by a rigorous, repeatable process.
Consistency.
Yes. They are defined by institutional-grade record keeping, like journaling the why behind every single trade and rigorously reconciling those daily statements we talked about.
And what's the most important part?
Most importantly, they are defined by the psychological ability to simply stop trading when the market conditions or their own risk limits dictate it.
It all comes back to discipline.
Mm-hmm.
And that brings us to why everything we've talked about today really matters to you, the listener.
Exactly.
Because whether you are opening an account to slowly, methodically accumulate a few index ETFs over the next 30 years, or you are looking to actively manage a highly complex portfolio, embracing this methodical, multi-layered approach protects the two most important things you have, your capital and your sanity.
It really does.
By treating the platform as a professional operating system, by mastering the cash management before you touch the margin, by understanding the precise mechanics of order types before you ever look at an API, you transform yourself from a reactive gambler into a proactive, structured operator.
And I will leave you with one final thought to mull over. We've spent a lot of time today talking about the friction involved in this platform.
Yeah, a lot of friction.
The multiple separated screens, the strict learning sequences, the complex order types, the required daily reporting. It is not easy. But that steep learning curve actually functions as a protective filter.
Huh. The friction is the point.
Exactly. It enforces discipline through its sheer operational friction. It makes it mechanically difficult to be impulsive. And if we benefit so much from this design friction in our highly risky financial tools, how might we intentionally introduce similar operational checklists into other impulsive areas of our lives?
Wow.
Like the way we consume algorithmic social media or, you know, our late night online shopping habits.
Oh, man. Imagine if you had to attach a bracket order to your late night online shopping cart.
That would save a lot of people a lot of money.
Like, I am willing to buy this vintage sweater, but only if my checking account stays above this specific limit.
And I have a predefined stop loss that I will automatically return it if I don't actually wear it in 14 days.
That is a brilliant takeaway. We've gone from graduating from a tricycle to learning to respect the massive 747 cockpit to bringing that rigorous flight checklist discipline into everything we do. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive. Stay curious, respect the risks, and we'll see you next time.